ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
I'm David Marr, host of Late Night Live on ABC Radio National, where we're still doing what we've done for nearly 40 years, examining what really matters in this changing world.
It's a power grab in advance.
And it felt fugitive, an alternative.
And people were willing to take risks.
Hear it now with four brand new episodes each week on the ABC Listen app.
The Bureau of Meteorology is forecasting severe to extreme heatwave conditions in large parts of Western Australia and Queensland.
A heatwave is scorching central Australia.
Much of southeast Australia, including both Melbourne and Sydney, which will swelter through a heatwave this weekend.
As parts of the country face yet another heatwave this summer, it's easy to focus on the temperature.
Some areas tipping 40 degrees.
But what about the UV, the ultraviolet radiation? During summer, throughout Australia, the UV will reach extreme levels most days. On the other hand, Northern Hemisphere summers don't reach extreme UV levels nearly as much. So I hit the streets and asked overseas visitors whether it was something they had noticed.
I can go in New York for an hour and a half without sunscreen on and not get burnt. 20 minutes here and I'm toast.
And why do you think that is? Hi, I'm Belinda Smith, and you're listening to Lab Notes, the ABC Radio National show that dissects the science behind new discoveries and current events. And yes, you will generally burn faster here than, say, in the US, but it's the same sun shining down on us. Ask people why our sun feels harsher and they'll tell you...
I know that there's like a hole in the ozone layer, I believe.
Well, I can tell you right now, the ozone layer ain't it. Today, we're getting to the bottom of why the Australian summer sun is so damn intense with David Whiteman from the QIMR Berghofer, a medical research institute in Brisbane, where the UV index is currently, yep, extreme.
Without question, the sunlight in the Australian summer is intense, certainly for a population that has a lot of people who trace their ancestry to Northern Europe. It's not an ideal combination.
Well, the culprit in all this is ultraviolet light, you know, the dreaded UV. So what is UV and how does it inflict so much damage on us?
Ultraviolet radiation is one part of the electromagnetic spectrum that comes from the sun. We can see visible light, or at least we can see the reflection of visible light, and that's how we see colours in the world. We can feel the warmth of the infrared spectrum, and ultraviolet is just at the top end of the visible spectrum. So it's high-intensity, high-energy radiation that's just beyond our ability to see it with our eyes.
The type of UV radiation that causes most sun-related cancer is called UVB. It does this by creating kinks in our DNA, our genetic blueprint.
When we go out into the sun, those ultraviolet photons are smashing into our DNA frequently. And so if we don't protect ourselves, then that DNA damage, it can be quite substantial. You get a sunburn, and over time, that can lead to skin cancer.
Right, so it accumulates over our lifetime, this UV damage.
It does if we don't repair it. So our body has got extremely good DNA repair mechanisms, and that's just part of evolutionary adaptation to life. We repair DNA damage, and there are very good enzymes within our cells that look out for damage and repair it. But it cannot repair every single little piece of damage. And so the problem with UV is it's so ubiquitous, it's so common, and particularly in Australia in summer when people are outdoors, it's happening every hour of the day, and particularly in the middle of the day. And when that accumulates over a lifetime of 50, 60, 70 years, there is enough damage there to cause irreparable harm to those cells, and those cells turn into cancer cells. And that's really the origins of skin cancer.
What really led me into this story wasn't to do with skin cancer, but something else that happened to me that was UV related. I recently had to replace my bushwalking tent because my old tent was basically disintegrating after only a few years. And I took it to this tent repair guy who told me it was UV that had done this damage and there was no way to fix it. He then said that Northern Hemisphere brands don't really go so well in Australia because the fabric's not made for our harsh UV conditions. So I wanted to know, why do we have such high UV here?
There's a couple of reasons for that. One is that the Earth's orbit around the sun is not a perfect circle. It's an ellipse, you know, a bit egg-shaped.
Okay.
And it just so happens that at the time of our summer, that's when the Earth is closest to the sun. And at the time of the Northern Hemisphere summer in June, July, that's when it's furthest from the sun. So we've just lucked out in a way that the Australian hemisphere happens to be the pointing to the sun at its closest time in the orbit. And so that just the intensity per square meter of radiation landing on the Earth in our summer compared to the northern summer is higher. Also, the southern hemisphere is mostly ocean, so there's less aerosols from trees and from pollutants and things like that. There's less cloud cover in Australia generally as a continent compared with northern hemisphere land masses. So you've got this clear sky for large parts of the day. You've got proximity to the sun, and you've got low levels of air pollution. And so just those physical parameters of the Earth's location in space and Australia's location on the globe means that we have higher intensity UV in our summer. And then there's our lifestyle. And the Australian lifestyle has always been one predominantly of, you know, worshipping the outdoors and sport and the sea. And there's a whole combination of factors as to why this population is almost uniquely sun exposed and ill adapted for it.
Right. Okay. The reasons for our harsh UV are this time of year, our planet is closer to the sun. It happens to be when the Earth's tilt means Australia directly faces the sun too. Our air quality is generally really good and the sky is relatively cloudless, so we don't have molecules above us to filter out the UV. And our outdoor-oriented lifestyle really doesn't help. There is one other factor which increases UV, which is less relevant to Australia's landscape, and that is...
At high altitude, mountain air is noticeably thinner. And, you know, above about 4,000 metres, we find it very hard to breathe. So the air does get thinner, and that means there's less of the natural protection or screening effect of the atmosphere. So there's fewer molecules for the UV spectrum to pass through, and therefore the intensity is higher. So the highest UV levels ever recorded are actually up in the Andes, right on the equator, you know, around Ecuador and Bolivia at 20,000 feet, 6,000-7,000 meters, UV index recorded up there in the 20s. So extraordinarily high levels of UV on planet Earth at the equator at altitude. And that's why people can get sunburned when they go skiing. The air is thin. There's a lot of reflected light from the surface of the snow on a clear day. And so people will burn. They will get a substantial burn because of those factors.
So all up, what does this mean for people who live in Australia and my hiking tents? You know, how much extra UV do we get raining down on us, just sort of generally?
Yeah, look, it's probably about 10% higher on average than the equivalent latitude in the Northern Hemisphere. So, you know, that would mean for people living in Brisbane, it is higher than people living in Miami in the US. And for people in Melbourne, it's higher than people living in Athens in Greece. So it's a significant amount, but it's not, you know, an order of magnitude higher. Mm. It's an incremental amount. So the biggest contributor really to our skin cancer epidemic is really our lifestyle and our personal choices. And those are the things that we can certainly take big steps to reduce our exposure to the UV and therefore reduce our risk of skin cancer.
Now, putting all of this to one side, when we tick through the reasons why UV is generally higher in Australia than other countries, not once did you mention the hole in the ozone layer, yet every person I ask says that Australia's high UV is because of the hole in the ozone layer. So is that a factor at all?
Well, the ozone hole is a real phenomenon. It occurs every spring over the Antarctic, and it's part of just how the weather systems and the atmospheric systems occur after super cold winters in that part of the world. There is a reduction in the ozone, and the ozone hole is a real phenomenon. It was made much worse in the 1960s and 70s by pollutants in the atmosphere from spray cans and refrigerants and cooling products that were in air conditioners and things like that. They were all recognized, and then the world came together through the Montreal Protocol and essentially banned those pollutants from being made commercially and absolutely restricting their availability and use. And that has led to a repair of that ozone hole over time. There'll never be no hole because it's a naturally occurring phenomenon, but man's contribution to enlarging that hole and making it much more dangerous has now essentially been reversed. But in fact, that ozone hole really never got over parts of the globe where people lived in any substantial numbers. So it was really restricted to the deep southern ocean and maybe parts of Tierra del Fuego and maybe the most southernmost islands off New Zealand. But in fact, it wasn't really ever to the point where it was leading to increased UV levels where people live. But that's not to say the threat wasn't real, and it certainly could have gone that way had we not done anything. That was almost certainly going to happen had we just kept going at 1980s and then into the 1990s and beyond. So that was rescued just in time.
Great. So we can put the hole in the ozone layer theory to bed once and for all. Considering that most of Australia has extreme UV at some point during the day during summer, and you were just talking about the Andes where you can get UV levels up into the 20s, does the UV index need a level or levels above extreme?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's a fair point. People do discuss the adjectives we use to describe these phenomena, and there might be a case to be made for having catastrophic. Typically, not many people are exposed to those kinds of levels. They're pretty extreme environments anyway. So we could go to something like that. But I think the main message to get is, whatever the language is that we use, what are the steps I can take to keep myself safe? And I think we need to put a lot of effort into making sure people have the tools to understand what they can do to reduce their risk of developing a skin cancer because of inadvertent exposure to UV.
Looking ahead, how will climate change affect UV levels?
Atmospheric physicists and climate modellers are certainly looking at the potential impacts of climate change on ground level UV. You know, it's a very difficult thing to predict the future, particularly for a complex phenomena like weather. Many of the models that I have been exposed to so far that people have talked about suggest there really won't be too much difference at ground level with climate change, but it does depend heavily on local effects, like how much cloud cover might change in certain locations, how much more humidity there might be in the air, or whether the air will be less humid, because these atmospheric factors, they're going to be the drivers of what happens at ground level. Even taking those factors into account, it probably will be a less influential factor on the UV index than time of year, whether it's summer or winter, time of day, because we know it varies greatly between, you know, dawn and noon and sunset. So those diurnal and seasonal variations are probably going to still be the overwhelmingly large drivers of what happens to UV in your immediate location, more so than long-term changes in the climate. But, you know, these are still open questions and certainly under research at the moment.
I think we need to make Legionnaires' hats fashionable again. I recently bought one for my walking.
Good luck.
I'm a fashion icon outside. Look, David, thank you so much from me and also from my brand new tent, which I will keep out of the sun as much as possible. It's been great talking to you about this.
Thank you for your interest and slip, slop, slap.
That was David Whiteman from the QIMR Berghofer. And thanks for listening to Lab Notes on ABC Radio National, where every week we dissect the science behind new discoveries and current events. I'm Belinda Smith. This episode was produced on the lands of the Wurundjeri and Menang Noongar people. The show was produced by Fiona Pepper and mixed by Angie Grant. We'll catch you next week.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.